This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can you close me up on what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
These government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? Well, I suspect you are. You are that exceptional American. So welcome aboard. A lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. And of course, we have been covering what's going on with the COVID-19 business. And by the way, the clips that you were hearing from the good doctor that was on are actually up on Agenda 21 Radio. You can see the entire video. It's about 30 minutes long, I think, something like that, maybe 26 minutes. And you can hear the whole story about what's been going on with this whole COVID virus. And again, she substantiates pretty much what we've been talking about here since February about this COVID virus. And now all of a sudden the world is starting to wake up. So we're really kind of happy to bring that information to you. Also, Space Force USA is going to be centered in, are you ready for this, New California State. We're announcing that right now. And I know this is like, oh, this is just, this can't happen. I think it's going to happen. In fact, I'm pretty certain it's going to happen, so I'm pretty excited about that. That's a big, big deal. As we were talking about in the last hour, there's just massive amounts of infrastructure already in place that's been abandoned. Why? Because of California's over-regulation, over-taxation, and of course, which has led to the complete financial collapse going on right now. You know, we're in the hole about almost $400 billion, just cash wise. That's kind of a cash call. That's pretty, you know, when you buy and sell stocks, you sometimes do things on margin, and sometimes there's what's called a margin call. Anyway, I just want to put that out there for you. We're having right now we've got Dave Hodges with us here from the Dave Hodges Show, and it's kind of in common sense. It's kind of interesting. I had a situation develop where I was going to talk this hour about, well, Venezuela, and I get a little information coming in from Dave, and he's talking about Venezuela as well. You know, great minds think alike, Dave. It's pretty obvious that something big is going on down there in Venezuela.
That's a big thumbs up on that. Yeah, you're right. I'm just peacefully analyzing the Project Veritas expose on CBS Morning Show's fake news coverage, inventing fake patients to create a really big line in Cherry Hills Medical Facility in Michigan to try to make it look like they're testing all kinds of people when they weren't. And they tried to make their hospital look really busy when it wasn't. And gee, this is what I was working on. We can come back to that too. I think that's a noteworthy story, but I've been analyzing the Project Veritas coverage of this. It's fantastic. But let me just read to you what I received about 15 minutes ago, and it prompted my text to you. This is from an inside Fed. The source is, without question, excellent. Failed mercenary mission to capture and overthrow Maduro. And this, of course, he's the leader of Venezuela, led by a former Venezuelan military officer and two U.S. Special Forces guys. Talk of it being a coup that failed, and the U.S., of course, is denying involvement. This feels very much like it was CIA-based. This proves to me that the U.S. is trying to overthrow Maduro to grab their oil reserves before China can. However, this also leaves the door open for U.S. military involvement if Maduro does something stupid. This is called posturing for war. And I've been, I don't know if you have noticed, I know you're busy, but I have published four things in the last 3 days about wars coming with China. And I think this is a big part of this, Paul. This is really, 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 really crazy. I mean, I guess this is maybe now aired on CNN. I haven't seen it, but I was told it's going to be sanitized. It's going to come out. It's going to a picture as a minor disturbance. And, of course, the U.S. is not involved. And that's all the U.S. public will see on the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been, like I said, you and I have been have different sources than, and it's kind of interesting how it all kind of dovetails at moments like this when you had this operation that went awry yesterday, and the two Rangers, former Army Rangers, I guess, special operators were captured, and I don't know, bunch of people were killed. It does sound a little bit like a Bay of Pigs at a smaller level. But it does sound that, and we all know what's going on with China in Central and South America, primarily around Colombia. That's a big one, too. That's another breaking thing going on down there. And, of course, the influences in Peru and Argentina and working with, the Maoist groups that are down there. And, of course, you can't leave out the Pope in all this because he's from Argentina and he's a communist. And a lot of people don't understand that he is a card-carrying communist. Mm-hmm. And very, very, brutal. And he's also with Peter McLaren out of Chapman University, who trained Ocasio-Cortez and that group with Betty Valencia. You know, Orange, California, that's right. And, you know, have a lot to do with Disneyland, the whole issues over there, the Crystal Cathedral. I mean, these are just the things that are coming out. We know this. But in Venezuela, it's a particular one because Maduro's still there. And we know that the Chinese are really there. And you also have a lot of Iranians who have been living over there and not returned back to Iran after, as Chris Street has pointed out, that since 2006, a plane has left Tehran every single day loaded with men that have flown into Caracas and deposited these men and then deadheaded back to Tehran. So that's been a big influence there in that area. And again, that's what I think Maduro is probably trying to rely upon and the Chinese to push back against the Americans.
Or they're also simultaneously constructing a Red Dawn invasion force.
Shocking you would bring that up.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You used the term Bay of Pigs. As I put, I think I said that to you in the text too, but I sent that out to about seven or eight of my closest friends. I said, look at this. And I said, Bay of Pigs, 2020 style. And that's exactly what this is. You know, the U.S. just needs to be done with the pretense. Okay, we're going to war with China. Get the hell in there. Take Maduro out and do what you need to do. If you're going to do it, do it. Don't mess around.
Well, you know, there was a doctrine that we always used to live by in this country called the Monroe Doctrine.
Yes.
And that was something even Kennedy you know, used with the whole notion and pushing back against the Soviet Union when they had we had the Cuban Missile Crisis, that, you know, it was enough is enough. You're not going to arm, you know, Cuba with nuclear weapons this close to our country. And, of course, this goes back to no resettlements by colonizers, you know, such as when, you know, when the New World came about, which is, of course, founded, you know, I know there's the argument about Christopher Columbus, but he's the guy you give most credit to because things started really taking off then. But the New World was discovered. Well, you know, basically all these colonizers came in, and you're talking about Portugal and Italy and Spain and France and Great Britain and the Netherlands. Everybody wanted to settle into the New World and take the riches, and they did. They plundered it like crazy. And then when everybody got, you know, the feeling of independence in 1776 and it spread to the Central America and South America, all those colonizers left. And, of course, Monroe said, look, we don't want these guys back. we know this New World thing is working. I mean, the New World in the new sense of, you know, Old World being Europe. And they came up with the Monroe Doctrine that said we're not going to allow recolonization. And we've really flat out got recolonization and colonizing going on from China in Central and South America. And even in the United States, take a look at California.
Well, I've got a lot of information on that. I regularly hear from a group of expats that listen to my show, and they live in Ecuador and Chile. And I get, reports every third, every fourth day. Let me tell you how far it's gone. First of all, it's the, what do they call that, the Belt and Road program for China. They're taking over infrastructure. And they've been rewarded with nine mines, tremendously rich mines in Ecuador, with resources that are going back to China. In exchange for their help, and this has displaced the natives in Ecuador, and they want a revolution. And the Chinese have gone so far, and I kid you not, Paul, the expats, I've heard this now on three different emails, the expats are telling me Chinese soldiers are dressing up in Ecuadorian police uniforms in various locations, and they're directing activities for the local police on what to enforce.
Well,
I'd say that's colonization.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And you know, we do know about submarine bases on various islands off of the shore of Chile and things like that. Those are, you know, I think everybody kind of understands all that stuff. Well, not everybody, but it's general public. We're telling you right now. We've been hearing this now going on for a long time. And of course, there is different places around the Caribbean as well. There have been various operations that have gone on, and these operations have wiped out some of these bases, actually. That's probably news to some people, too. I'm sure that it is. But this this battle for Central and South America with China, I think, is just starting to build now, and we're starting to see. We do know that there's been interdiction of the so-called drugs and everything by our Coast Guard and naval operations. And remember, Trump actually announced that when the COVID virus thing started to hit. And that operation is ongoing and continues to be ongoing. But this, to me, is just sort of the precursor to a bigger event that's going to happen in Venezuela primarily.
I think you're right, but I also think we're headed for a potential Lusitania event. As you know, we've got a reported 5,000 soldiers in Colombia. I think it's more, but they're going to need to be supplied, resupplied, as well as the Colombian army, who we're allying with, and they're no friend of the Venezuelans. And I can't imagine the Chinese at some point aren't going to stop our buildup in Colombia, because that would be the jumping off point. Short of an amphibious invasion of Venezuela, but that'd be a jumping off point which to invade Venezuela militarily. And I look for China, because of those bases you're mentioning, to take out the supply line coming out of the United States to resupply and build up forces in Colombia. And I think that could be an impetus, Mark, for World War III, just like it was for World War I.
Yeah, and who would have thunk it? But, you know, this was all allowed to promulgate itself, starting with Bill Clinton primarily, and moving right through George Bush, and certainly accelerating itself with the Obama administration. This has been allowed to happen. The Chinese have been exploiting the various countries down there for their own gain. And now, all of a sudden, it's becoming a bigger threat to the United States, and it looks like there's going to be war. In fact, I opened up my first hour with talking about the draft. They're going to reinstitute the draft, and a lot of people might not understand that, but, you know, it seems to me very relevant when you get the announcement from people. I saw the written document that they're trying to make sure that all the draft board positions, board members at the draft board locally, are filled. Now, what's that mean? I mean, we know the draft. We know how that sort of thing worked and back in the day, and here it is. So I look to see that the draft will be instituted, and these aren't really happy times in a lot of respect, because that's going to lead to, I think, a war, which we don't want to see happen. You know, we certainly don't want to see that happen.
Paul, you and I discussed this the other night on the phone in a private conversation about the selective service boards, and I went and checked some things out, and I found out that there's a lot of substance to what you're saying, but I'm still walking away with this feeling. I do not believe the average American male is going to submit to this, given what we have already been put through as a nation with COVID-19 and the lockdowns.
Yeah. That might, you know, you might see that. I think that the manpower issue is going to be pretty overwhelming, though, if we are at war with China.
Well, it kind of reduces our options on what kind of weapons we can use.
Yes.
So I do agree with that. But no, we do not need to be putting troops on every continent. Our enemy, we need to keep our eye on the ball militarily. And I've had this discussion with some military people. And this is their feeling. Number one, we need to move to protect South Korea, Japan, and Taiwan above all else, and then ultimately Australia as well. And that means that you do targeted assaults on main Chinese strongholds. And we're talking neutron bombs. We're talking, you know, tactical nuclear weapons. And you basically end the Chinese ability to govern their country. Because here's the thing about China. You've got this really weak structure holding together this incredibly repressive regime where they have several uprisings a day in China. All you have to do is open up that dike and watch the civil disobedience and ultimate civil war seep through. We need to promote the conditions in China that will lead to civil war. I don't think we need to think about engaging them on every continent in World War III, because I think the Chinese will take care of their own business.
Well, you know, Chris Street, you know, who advises the Chinese government from time to time, especially their so-called Supreme Court, and travels over there and also in Vietnam, has great insight into these very events you're talking about. And he says that it's very, very common, very, very common to have as many as 1,000 riots in China over employment conditions, over food shortages and things like that right now. And actually, this has been something he's been saying for several years, just exacerbating, getting more exacerbated as days go on, because the economic situation in China has become almost desperate in some places.
Well, one of the things I saw coming out of Wuhan in the early days of the virus spread were people that were going on social media, risking everything, right, risking their freedom, risking their lives, and calling out the Chinese government for the evil entity that they are. And I said to a bunch of people at that time, I said, bigger than the virus story is the story that the Chinese have had enough with their government. You can see this in the rank and file. You had doctors speaking out. You had accountants speaking out. And you had your average laborer speaking out. The discontent, if you just use this as a barometer, the discontent in China is tremendous. And Paul, I don't think we need to engage them in World War III. I think what we need to do is create the conditions that will cause an overthrow of that government. Or should I say, more accurately, an overthrow of their deep state controlling their government.
That's the issue right there, the deep state. Because a lot of people, we've talked about this on our show, that there is a deep state in China that Xi Jinping has no control over. And that's why you hear Donald Trump say, well, you know, Xi's my friend. Well, I mean, let's be clear about this. Xi is a communist, and he does what communists do, but then he has a deeper state that's even more radicalized than him. And that's the one that's really out of control right now and really doing all the influencing. And there's no question in my mind that this is a weaponized situation with the COVID.
Yes.
Absolutely weaponized. And I was explaining to people that in my lifetime, I've had a number of viral conditions that are very, very serious and life-threatening, one of them being chickenpox at age 36, which killed people around me that had it as adults, by the way. But my point is that this was the last, when I had the COVID and I got it, I think in December as I was doing a lot of flying, and I got it in January and February. I was just sicker than sick. But it was a very unusual viral infection that it led me to believe. I said, you know, this is just not what you get with the flu. And, you know, then it comes back. And, you know, it was just kind of a weird situation in my body. And I said to myself, this has got to be a genetically modified one. And, of course, now we're finding out that a lot of different things about the COVID. So, in fact, we found out, and I've been talking about on the show, that the COVID virus, the patents are owned by the Gates Foundation and GlaxoSmithKline. The patents for these things. And, you know, this goes back for many, many years. I know that doesn't shock you. It shouldn't shock you that there are patents on these particular viruses that are giving these diseases to us right now. Now, what is the motivation there? Well, then you've got to look at Fauci. You got to look at Birx. You got to look at the World Health Organization and Bill Gates, which we did in the last hour. But the Chinese helped to weaponize this and get it to the United States. And Donald Trump was very smart to shut down air traffic early on when this whole thing first popped up, when he kind of knew what the degree. You know, here he's listening to Fauci. That's who the person is. And he has to make a better judgment than him, which he obviously did. Remember, he was roundly criticized by the left for shutting down air traffic when he did. That's called a clue, I think, that he did the right thing with the left screaming about that. And he did. It's proven to be true.
Well, you know, if you want to make an analogy, in my book, Fauci is the metaphoric equivalent of Dianne Feinstein in this situation. Feinstein's in bed with a communist Chinese up to her eyeballs with her husband, Richard Bloom, and Fauci is involved with this event at Ground Zero. But I'm going to go back and I'm going to share with you again what I've said on your show. And I've got one more piece of confirmation since I've told you. And it's the word of someone who can't come out, but it's a Fed. And we traced on paper Hunter Biden with the Air Force One shipping F-35 technology to Wuhan. Okay, that's unmistakable. Also on that same flight were crates of items that weren't listed in the manifest. And I said, I suspect that was the Wuhan flu, so to speak. And Hunter Biden was in charge of sending that over too. And I've been beating that drum. I said, hey, grand jury investigation, this is where you start. There's enough to have a grand jury investigation. Could I convict Hunter Biden for that one offense? No, not yet, because it's unmarked. You'd have to have complicit witnesses. Well, I've had someone come forward who is in the Fed, and they told me that I'm exactly right. They know that this is true, and they know that there are still efforts to cover this up, and that includes the offing of certain personnel who might know. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little bit that I can share, but I do know something about it. I'm not going to go out there and talk about it right now, though. But we've talked about some of these situations with Hunter Biden and all this other stuff that went on with Air Force One or Two, whatever you want to call it, and all the other stuff in Wuhan and Ukraine. All these are connected dots. These are dots that are connectable. And really, all you need to do, if you can do this, and it takes a little bit of understanding, you know, that if you go to WikiLeaks, all this information is there. It's all there. It tells you everything. And, you know, we just don't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. We see the memos. We get the information. We can read it. We can interpret it. And all the things that we're telling you are true. We won't come out and tell you anything else that's different. But, yeah, there's a lot more that's going to come out, Dave. A lot more.
Do you got a feeling on a time frame for disclosure? Because I think now is the time.
I think in our world of disclosuring, it's the disclosing of many things are starting to happen now. I think it's the time to, especially with all the rebellion going on, that's developing at the local level, you know, because you have your local governors and everybody else who's kind of in a tizzy right now, and there's kind of a lot of upheaval going on. It's probably a pretty good time to start disclosing as much as possible.
Yeah, well, I'm going to disclose something, and listen, I just can't believe people can't see this. It's as clear as the nose on all our faces that, you know, CELAC, you know, the American Organization of States, they've got 3 dozen members, roughly speaking, and 3 years ago they had a joint meeting, and they invited everybody but Canada and the U.S., and I have published articles where I said Nicaragua has this military hardware from this communist country. Costa Rica is kind of neutral, but they're leaning this way. Panama has military weapons. I went through and I talked about Argentina, and I talked about Bolivia and Venezuela and all these countries that will make up the Red Dawn. Now, I know that President Trump went in, and this is where he gets no credit, Paul, and I can't believe people in the independent media aren't covering this. He turned El Salvador around. El Salvador used to be the site where foreign terrorists from the Middle East would come in and train, paramilitary training, with cartel members in El Salvador.
Right.
And it was a hot spot for Red Dawn. And now we have turned that around. They are now an ally of the U.S., and we're sending them Southcom troops. We've sent them Southcom forces, and they are a great ally. And we put troops in Colombia to guard the Darien Gap. That would be the bridge between Central and South America, very difficult to traverse, easy to defend. And we're guarding that gap, and that would keep South American Red Dawn from joining with Central American Red Dawn, which would be a formidable force. And we're not covering that. And see, this is where Trump was brilliant. He brings in Bolton and makes Bolton think we're going to invade Venezuela right away. So he brokers a deal with Colombia to put our troops in Colombia, and then fires Bolton when he's done with it. Yeah. Used him like an old prostitute and got rid of him. And Trump hasn't gotten the credit for doing that. Trump has actually turned and negated a lot of this Red Dawn threat, but not all of it. Because it's big, it's huge, and people just don't see it. Oh, there you go again, Dave. You sound like Steve Quayle and Doug Hagman. Red Dawn, Red Dawn. This is what I hear a lot.
You know, one of the things, if you go back to the Hunting Hitler series of the History Channel, it was a couple of years ago, they pretty much explain what this Red Dawn was going to be, vis-a-vis the fact that Hitler did not die in the bunker, and he perpetuated you know, this whole process of invading America, which is the underbelly, from the underbelly, which is exactly what we're seeing right now play out from a multiple sources. This was all, you know, formulated back in the 40s, then 47, 50, in that era. And then it's been activated ever since and been acted upon. And there's tons and mountains of research that indicates that this was these were genesis moments following World War II, in which this plan that we're seeing right now was absolutely formulated. And they brought it out very well, I think, in the Hunting Hitler series. And we've been concerned about this. Peter Lavenda has written a book called The Rat Line. The Hitler Legacy was his second book. And I interviewed extensively Peter Lavenda on this radio show back in, 2011, 2012, 2013. And this plan is here, and it's now, and it's vast, and it involves the Chinese, and it involves the certain availability of to Indonesia, and it involves certainly the radicalized Islamic factors that have, especially Iran, but also you can't discount the Sunni Muslims, and of course that's where Obama comes in. All these people have come together to try and destroy the United States by the so-called Red Dawn invasion. This is something that's been out there, and people know about it. I think they've tried to tramp it down and say, well, we can live in peace and harmony. Of course, then there's Mexico, which I think has been somewhat reined in. But, you know, these cartel activities working with the Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, this is something that has been going on for years. And this is in part what the big deep state depends upon, and we're talking about the United Nations Agenda 21, that plan to try and infiltrate and bring it down to the local level, which if you're taking a look at what's going on, quote, at the local level here in the United States. Trump is playing this brilliantly with his COVID business, because what's happening is you're seeing, he says, okay, we want to handle this. You guys want to bring your states back. We were attacked. Now we're going to let you guys bring it back. You governors, you local people, you bring it back like the federal law says you're supposed to do. And, of course, look what's happening. All these blue states are acting like Nazis. Shocking. That's because they want to control the local level, and it's not working. And certainly in California, it's not working right now. There's no question of it. It's going to be a failed state in that regard. And again, it's going to buy us more time to, you know, take care of the invasion, the Red Dawn that you're talking about.
Well, it's interesting you'd mention the blue states and what they're doing and how repressive they're being. And I have a couple thoughts on that. First of all, my largest growing demographic in my audience now, based on just the emails and comments I get, are from disaffected liberals. And a lot of them are small business owners, and they are really upset. And a typical letter will go like this: Dave Hodges, I hate you, but on this issue, we are allies. And one lady wrote to me, she was a professor, and she said, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and right now my governor is my enemy, and I need your help. You need to keep going. And she goes, we can hate each other at the end of all this. And that's, it was pretty funny yeah. Email. I actually posted it. But at the outset of what you're seeing here now, and my point is that the deep state has alienated their own base. The liberals are turning on them.
Yeah, they absolutely have. And, you know, we see this here in California, in the new California state movement a lot. I tell people, one of the things that we are going to do, and we're going to try and get this out this week, we're still trying to do it, is establish groups that are really interested in forming political parties in New California, because we have to be true to Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution to guarantee a Republican form of government, which we do not have in California any longer. We have a dictatorship with a monoparty. And but my position is that we are hearing from more Democrats now than ever before. In fact, when we set this whole thing up and we went public and declared ourselves independent, we immediately started getting calls. The largest demographic of callers were Democrats out of San Francisco wondering what was going on and how they can help and how they can fix it. They wanted to get away from the feces and all this other stuff. I mean, it was crazy. And I thought to myself, well, you know, maybe there is some hope out there. And I think there is for a lot of these Democrats to see the light, so to speak, about what the light bulb finally went on.
I agree. But President Trump is going to have to make a national security decision here before much longer, because I can have the best laid plan, or military can have the best laid plan to cause civil war in China to end this threat. But that doesn't mean it's going to happen or be successful. We have to be prepared to fight the Chinese on a number of fronts at strategic locations. And right now, if we continue to allow these lockdowns to continue, then what happens is you lose the ability to convert a healthy peacetime industry into a wartime industry.
That's right.
You can draft all the soldiers you want, but if you can't equip them, they can't fight.
That's right.
And Trump needs to move right now federally. He needs to declare, in my opinion, an emergency. And said, hey, we're all going back to work right now. The cure is worse than the disease. We're going back to work. You know, I'll give you an example here. This is what's the nonsense about COVID-19. In Maricopa County, and this goes back a week with stats last time they were released, the 67% of the deaths were experienced by people in assisted living facilities, live-in facilities. And they're over the age of 65, and the assumption is they're dying from multiple causes. And they make up 0.00001, yeah. I think I got that right, of the population.
Right.
Okay, now the biggest group that's infected are the 20 to 44-year-olds. 37% of the infections that have been caught in testing are from 20 to 44, yet the death curve is infinitesimal for this group. They get it, it's like the flu, they're sick a few days, they go back to work right. Or go back to school. And the president needs to capitalize on these kinds of numbers and stop letting these governors play games. He came to Arizona yesterday, and this is, I'm going to give the president a little slap on the wrist. He lands in Air Force One, and he's going to tour a facility making N95 masks at Honeywell. And King Ducey, our leftist governor pretending to be a Republican, lines up to go in, and Trump comes out and praises him. And Ducey's on the board of TGen, which is partnering with the Gates Foundation for the vaccine. Mm-hmm. And the thinking is, and I'll tell you, this is what everyone will tell you, and I agree with this, keep us locked down until the vaccine's done, and now before you can come out, boys and girls, you can't come out and play totally until you take your vaccine. And our governor is part of this conspiracy, and here President Trump just praised him.
Well, you know, and I really, it's pretty obvious that he believes in keeping his enemies closer. And clearly, Ducey's his enemy. There's no question about that. One of the things I wanted to bring up, though, was, you know, how have we been getting the arms to the weapons of war to these people down in South America? And we're starting to get some real reporting coming out of WikiLeaks and other places that show that a lot of places have really been highly implicated with this. And one of them is Newtown, Connecticut, in which many of the arms that were secretly passed down to the military down there or to the cartels down there were actually produced out of Newtown, Connecticut. Do you believe that's where Sandy Hook was? Came out in a secret congressional report on that was the report was produced in 97 but released in 2009 by WikiLeaks. You know, it's these kind of things that, and again, this is the stuff that was going on with Bill Clinton, you know, weapons down to Central and South America by way of American manufacturers in secret locations like Newtown, Connecticut. You comment on that. Well, wait a minute. We got to wait. I got to go to a break. I have to make some money here. So we're going to go to a break, and I'm going to ask Dave to comment on that. Weapons being made in Newtown, Connecticut. Just a little reporting from, it's WikiLeaks, it's public. This is public knowledge. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is, we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that possibly pops on. If it, your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
We're also a nation of laws. That's part of our tradition.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. And with us right now is Dave Hodges. We're talking about weapons being shipped during Slick Willie's assault weapons ban back in the 90s. What do you think about that, Dave?
Well, of course, they're the group that they have rules for thee, but not for me. I'm not aware of the Connecticut thing specifically. I've heard a rumor about it. I mean, that's as far as it goes. If you were to ask me where the weapons, the majority of them come from in the present day, I'd say out of Ukraine with their subsidiaries, and I believe that's still going on today. It's interesting, though, that you would get that kind of complicity. Of course, you know, if you go to Hagerstown, Maryland, you know what's there?
No. Uh-uh.
A huge manufacturing plant for UN MRAPs.
Oh, yeah. You know, I have heard that. Yes.
I published the pictures.
Yeah. Shocking. You're the one who put the pictures out.
That's right. Well, actually, someone took it and sent it to me. But I have to tell you, Paul, I'm not surprised because let's go one administration beyond into Obama and let's go to Fast and Furious. Same concept. Let's arm the cartels. They don't have enough weapons to raise all the hell. You know, and it's amazing to me, too. A lot of people still don't know that the CHICOMs control the cartels, absolutely control them. And the CHICOMs are the ones that committed an act of war against the United States last year, killing 70,000 Americans with fentanyl distributed by the cartels courtesy of the CHICOMs.
Yeah, you know, this is something that we cannot let go of. Is it how many people died last year? How many died the year before that? And the year before that? And the year before that? Because the Chinese have been flooding our country with fentanyl. And, of course, the whole marijuana thing, the billions of dollars that are being earned by the cartels. Then there's human trafficking. And, gee, haven't we had the so-called caravans with tens of thousands of people coming across our border? And people profiteering from that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. it's just, and again, in Nancy Pelosi's world, welcome to Nancy Pelosi's world. This is what Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein and Adam Schiff and that whole cadre out of California represents. To me, it's the most insane thing. You've got Hollywood and you got San Francisco controlling the nation. Well, they were. I think that things are starting to change. But, you know, how many people have to die in America from Chinese fentanyl?
Well, exactly. And then here's another question we're going to have to answer. How many people are going to starve to death as a result of the present crisis, and it's not natural? Well, what I'm saying is not natural. This is what I mean. We've got, I'm hearing from farmers, Kansas, Colorado, Nebraska, Texas, and they're all saying the same things. They've been saying this now for a number of weeks, that they're being ordered to slaughter their mature cattle, and it's not going to market. They have to dispose of it. They've already euthanized several million chickens. And why? Because these meat packing plants have been allowed to close down. And this is where the president may have a blind spot, because as a president, you can't know everything that's going on in your administration. That's why you have delegates. You appoint people to run things for you. And we know that the president has had turncoats in his administration. And somewhere, and I suspect this is in the FDA, there is a huge turncoat. And here's what I mean by that. You've had 17 meat packing plants close and a bunch of other plants that process food close. Now, you have the National Guard that are taking National Guard nurses and sending them to New York. OK, Okay, that's nice. That's fine. Then why can't they do the same thing with these meatpacking plants that are allegedly closing down because of the spread of COVID virus? Just equip the National Guard with the proper protective equipment and have them go in and man these facilities so products can get to market. And then, of course, you've got the oil situation. See, this is one giant conspiracy, Paul. These are not unrelated events. There is an internal mechanism inside our government that is not stepping up to make sure the American people are going to have food. And this summer is when it's all going to hit. And then we have the oil glut off the coast, where we're keeping untold numbers of oil tankers in stasis armed with oil because we're not processing it. And that's largely due to the Saudis and what they've done, to some degree the Russians, but the Saudis mostly, and what they've done. So even if you got the food to market, will there be enough gas in 6 months to distribute the food? And I'm saying these two events are related. So if they can't stop all the food, well, they'll just keep the ability of the food makers to get it to market. This is about destroying America. And I don't know how I get the president's attention, because he needs to take affirmative steps right now before it's too late. We had I was talking to a food expert the other day, and he says, off the record right now, Dave, I'll be on the record in June if they don't fix it. And he said to me, we had 2 to 7 million people die in the Depression of starvation. He goes, it's a hard cause to label, because starvation ends up, you know, malnutrition manifests in different ways. So it's hard to fix a cause of death. But he said probably 7 million. He said we will see 5, 8, 10 times that in this country if we don't fix what's going on.
Well, you know what's kind of interesting is that coming up in 2 days is VE Day, 75 years later. And isn't that interesting? Victory in Europe Day, which means the demise of the Nazis, the end of the Third Reich, but actually the beginning of the Fourth Reich, which is really what we're experiencing. If you look at it from the perspective of the Hunting Hitler series, in which you have this so-called Red Dawn that's coming from the South, which is basically what they were attempting to do, and the plans that they laid out when Hitler was not killed in the bunker. And again, I visited the bunker. I saw for myself. I interviewed people at the bunker in Berlin in 1992, and they were very adamant that Adolf Hitler did. And I thought they were all crazy. I thought they were absolutely flipping crazy. I'd studied enough about Hitler and the whole thing. I'd prepped myself to be over there doing the things that I was doing. And I'll tell you, you know, I walked away thinking, these people are nuts. But, of course, we found out later that that's not the case. Hitler did escape, and the series did a very good job. But also the books by, like I said, Peter LaVenda and The Ratline, and, again, the Hitler legacy, which documents everything. But my point is, this has been a very well laid out plan. It's just, I think, is it a coincidence that this plan is in operation right now, 75 years after the fall of Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich?
It could be Nazi inspired to a large degree. And I think that's where you're going with this. And I'll tell you what, I say this is true. When you look at the Chinese penetration into the mine system in Ecuador that I previously mentioned, it stops short of a border of a particular country, Peru.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean anything to you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What was the Shining Path?
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Where did Shining Path come from?
They came from... Bill Ayers.
Yeah.
Bill Ayers and the current Pope, he's a big part of that.
Yeah, and Bill Ayers was a fan of Che Rivera, named one of his kids after him.
Yep.
And you keep going down. Eventually, without going through every domino, you end up in the Third Reich.
You do. No, absolutely, and that's why they call this the Fourth Reich, you know. This is a very, very viable scenario. There's too much historical records that actually you can trace these things back to the Third Reich, and of course how'd that work out for the world the last time? How is it going to work out for us right now? That's the other thing. That is the other thing that I think too.
Well, what's coming up, if we don't get a handle on it, could make World War II look like playtime. I mean, it's that serious. And, you know, if you get into end times prophecy, too, I mean, what does it say in Revelations? If it wasn't for the second coming of Jesus, there'd be no life left on the earth. And a lot of people are saying that those are the times we're in. I've got people writing to me, this is the tribulation. Look, I'm not going to go out on a limb on that today, but I'm just going to say that their fears for catastrophic events are well-founded. And we are looking at, Paul, in my estimation, that President Trump has a really short window to get this under control. He cannot allow Fauci to stay in his position, nor Birx, nor the Surgeon General, nor the head of the FDA. He's got to commit a purge. And I'll tell you, I know he might be worried about a political fallout on this, but I think the base would support him if they understood why he was doing it.
Well, I think that the case that people like us in the I call it the new stream media, you know, us is making is very, very strong. Very, very strong that these people are the problem, and he inherited the problem. And now it's I think he's given them the rope, and they're certainly doing a very good job of putting it around their neck. And of course, everybody's finding out about it. You go to these protests, and especially the ones that I've been watching in Sacramento, Southern California, and all around the nation. Fauci's name is all over the place. Fire Fauci. You know, I mean, this is it's his name for being fired in Birx and the World Health Organization. It's ubiquitous for getting rid of them because they have been around for a long time, and they've been fostering this whole thing through. There's no question about it. There's no question that this COVID situation was an attack. And its genesis was in the 80s. It's worked its way through to 2008 and 9 with the Obama administration. Certainly, Bush didn't stop it. And then all of a sudden, it's starting to pop up again in 2013. We covered the reports on that was given by Clapper. And then 2015. And, of course, now, here it's become actionable in 2019 and 20. And
true.
This has been a plan all along. The only problem with the plan is that it was foiled by somebody getting elected by the name of Donald Trump, because this plan clearly was meant for Hillary, and this would have been a huge die-off of American souls had Hillary been elected rather than Trump. So I think a lot of credit just on the fact that he was elected, but also he shut everything down. He knew about things. You know,
he gave us four more years.
Yes.
But we're seeing these forces coalesce again. And before we close, just real quick story here. Project Veritas did it again. As I alluded to very early on in the broadcast, I said that they had infiltrated Cherry Hill's medical facility in Michigan, and they were faking COVID cases, faking long vaccination lines, you know, the drive-through lines. They had employees actually playing the role of crisis actors, and Project Veritas has exposed all of it. And it's CBS News that was covering it. Now, it's Michigan. Governor Whitmer,
right?
CBS. I mean, here's what I'm going to point out. I think we're going to see a lot of collusion now, and I think this is what this is, between the mainstream media and these Democratic governors and mayors that are going to make up stories to justify the continuance of the lockdowns.
And we haven't even talked about California and what the attempts by Gavin Newsom. But we will in the next hour, because Chris Street's going to be our guest, and we're going to have, he has a lot to say about that. Listen, Dave, thank you very much, and tell us how we can get a hold of you.
Well, how you get a hold of me is thecommonsenseshow.com. And also we have YouTube by the same name, KYH Radio, as well. And, Paul, I'll talk to you tonight, my friend.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Dave Hodges with us here on Agenda 21 Radio. And in the next hour, Chris Street's going to be joining us. So we have a lot to talk about with Chris and all the things with the virus and all the things happening around in the nation. More information about New California. And, again, one of the great things coming up for New California is this opportunity to create the space base in California, New California. Yep. It's going to be a big one. A big one. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com, and of course, newcaliforniastate.com, ncs51.com, and stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
Sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.